You're listening to audio from Redeemer Anglican Church in the urban heart of Richmond, Virginia. We are a parish committed to gospel formation for missional presence through seven essential practices: telling the biblical story, embracing a new identity in Jesus, finding belonging in the church community, cultivating virtue through redemptive habits, understanding our context in this current cultural moment, laboring in renewed vocations for the common good, and reordering our imaginations through beauty in the arts. To learn more about our church, visit RedeemerRVA.org.
Our first lesson comes from Psalm 78, verses 15 through 26. You can find that on page 489 of your Pew Bible. And as we love to say every week, if you do not have a Bible of your own at home, please take one with you after the service. We would love to make a gift of it. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. "Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people?" Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power, he led out the south wind. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1 to 15, and you can find that on page 900 in your Pew Bible. This is the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated. Good evening again. My name is Will Clark, and I have the privilege of serving in ministry on behalf of our church over at VCU. And tonight, I have the privilege of looking with you at John 13. But before we do that, will you pray with me? Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to start off by congratulating all of you for coming to what has the potential to be the most awkward church service of the entire year. Some of you have been around and have been to Maundy Thursday services before, and so maybe you're no longer fazed by the idea of foot washing. But I know that there are others of you who aren't going to be able to listen to much of what I say because you're so fixated on the awkwardness of having to wash someone else's feet, and even worse, of having someone wash your feet. And it is an extremely intimate thing that we're about to do together. And so if that's you, if you're here and feeling awkward, I want to say that that's actually a pretty good way to approach our gospel text for tonight, because everything about John 13 is extremely intimate. The setting is intimate. In the flow of Holy Week, we've moved from the public, political action of Jesus on Palm Sunday into the quiet of an upper room, a private conversation between Jesus and his two best friends. It's an intimate conversation. It's the beginning of what's often called Jesus's farewell discourse. So he's preparing his disciples for his departure. And then, of course, there's the foot washing itself. We are not accustomed, at least I am not accustomed, to having other people wash my feet, right? That is some of the potential awkwardness. But in the first century, this would have been a common practice. And the way it would go is that it would be common for a host to either have a slave wash his guest's feet on arrival, or to have a basin and a towel available so that his guests could wash their own feet. And so the disciples would have been accustomed to the idea of foot washing in general, but what they wouldn't have been accustomed to is the idea of having their Lord and teacher stoop to wash their feet. Washing feet was a menial task. A superior never washed the feet of his inferiors, and so this would have stuck out to the disciples. This would have been strange. It would have been confusing. And Jesus even says this in verse 7. He says, "What I'm doing now, you do not understand." The foot washing is an act so strange that it demands interpretation. And Jesus himself interprets it for us, and he does so, more intimacy, through the lens of love. We call this day Maundy Thursday, and that word Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum. It's where we get our English word mandate. That's the word for commandment. And it comes from something Jesus says later in this chapter when he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." And I wonder if that explanation actually initially confused the disciples, because there's a sense in which there's nothing new about the command to love. I think about how earlier in the Gospels, Jewish leaders come to Jesus to test him, and they say, "What is the greatest commandment in God's law?" And he responds, "Well, there's two: love God and love one another. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets." The whole thing, Jesus says, hangs on love. And so long before we get to Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, love is already at the heart of Israel's ethic. And so there's one sense that there's nothing new about this command to love, but in another sense, it is utterly and entirely new. And the thing that is utterly and entirely new about Jesus' command to love here is the example of love that Jesus gives to his disciples. Love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus roots the new command to love in his example of love. If you've been around Redeemer for a while, then you'll know that at the top of all our Sunday services, we hear what's called the summary of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And every week when we say this together, the liturgist then leads us in this response. what else can we say but, Lord, have mercy upon us? And I love that moment in our liturgy because when we hear the command to love, we can't help but feel our own inadequacy in the face of it. I can't help but think about how lukewarm and fickle my love is, about how my heart loves all the wrong things. Maybe most of all, just closest to home, I think about all the ways that I fail to love those who are around me. When we consider the command to love, we're reminded of how far we fall short. How much more when we consider the example of Jesus' love for us? And this is where John 13 has such good news for us. Because the backdrop for this act of love that Jesus does for the disciples is their utter failure. The disciples are about to desert him. Peter is about to deny even knowing him. Judas is about to betray him. That's alluded to twice in our text. What did our liturgy say? This is the night. This is the night that Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself into the hands of those who would slay him. And in the midst of all that, God in love moves precisely towards those people who don't deserve it. And this is really the story that John has been telling all throughout his gospel. John begins his gospel with one of the most famous statements in the whole New Testament. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." All right, John starts his telling of the story of Jesus with this cosmic claim that the true story of the world from the beginning is the story of a God who moves towards his people in love, and particularly towards those who don't deserve it. Listen to what he says in John 1, verse 10. "He was in the world, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." And here in John 13, I think John is picking up that language from earlier in his gospel. He says, listen again to what he says. "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Right? John is trying to draw our attention to God's love for people who fail and falter. God in love moves towards people who do not deserve it. This is the story of the world. This is the story of Israel that we just heard from Psalm 78, how God rescues them out of Egypt in the Exodus, and then they grumble and doubt his provision. This is the story of the disciples in John 13, and this is the story that plays out on Friday, which the foot washing is ultimately a sign of. God in love, moving towards people who don't deserve it. Do you know that this is also your story? In the midst of whatever you're facing during this season of life, in the midst of the wreck you've made of your relationships, in the midst of your failure to love God and others, when you've left undone the things that you ought to have done and done those things that you ought not to have done, in the middle of all those things which make you feel most ashamed, God in Jesus Christ moves towards you in love. Not because you kept Lent in precisely the ways you planned, not because your insides and desires are rightly ordered, not because you somehow have gotten your life together, but because he loves you. Do you know a God like that? People of God, this is your story. This is the story that we embody when we come to wash each other's feet. And it's also the story that we rehearse every time we come to the Lord's table. Every single time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the celebrant says, "On the night he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and broke it." And it's this reminder that it was in the midst of the disciples' utter failure that Jesus gave them this meal of love. And so we are free to come to this table with our sin and our failure and to receive from him love beyond deserving. And so let's come and wash each other's feet, knowing that we love because he first loved us. And then let's come to the table and let him nourish us in love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To connect with our team or to learn more about our church, visit RedeemerRVA.org. We look forward to knowing you. Go in peace.